Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Welcome back to the Blue Collar BS podcast. I am your co-host, Brad, along with my co-host,
Steve.
There you go. Perfect. Wow. Great Gazoo has spoken once again. The great Gazoo. Jeez. We're going to go with that. All right.
All right. That's cool. Whatever.
Somebody's a little...
Yeah, right. I can tell,
Boomer. You can tell.
I can definitely tell by
knowing all the...
It's okay. It's going to be okay. It'll be okay.
It's okay.
You'll resonate with this topic today, Brad.
Just count to three, right? Let me get my
sand
in my little tree that I can go trim, my bonsai tree.
My yoga mat. With your hair, can we make the little trash bag swirl on the top too? The little pony. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I can't.
Obviously, I can't do any man bun work. I can't do that. Well, I could. It would just be in the back, you know, and it would look really stupid. I could make that happen.
I think, you know, some people would have a great laugh if they saw that. Just saying.
Drive me crazy having that long of a hair right now.
Just putting that out there. So Brad, topic for today. How important do you think branding is in the trades?
How do you want me to scale this? What's your scale of importance? Let's put some context around it as to whether it's a revenue piece, whether it's a
context around importance. Well,
percent of sale. Let's put some context around importance.
Well, that's true. That's true. So, I mean, number one,
without context, you know, it just becomes arbitrary.
What's the importance of having brand, a logo, and that when you're starting up in a business, right? So let's talk there. Let's say we're, you know, we want to be a machine shop, a well-known machine shop that's just starting up. I've got a couple lathes, got a couple mills. Maybe not have the ability to heat treat.
Okay.
I don't know. Doesn't matter. So I'm doing over $1 million in business a year. What is the significance of having a brand for that business?
Okay.
You know, I've got a sales guy. He goes out.
How are you receiving your dollars? How are you getting your orders?
Salesperson does.
Okay. So somebody's actively knocking on doors, making phone calls, doing things. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I will say that usually that initial startup person, they spend way too much time on logos and all that shit to begin with versus worried about how am I going to execute? What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. I'm worried not going out, making the sales calls and doing all the things, right? The name is the name. You can always change the other stuff later after you get going. But as far as a brand, there's two points to a brand.
Yep.
One is to your customers and one is to your potential employees or future employees. And too often, most blue collar, I'm going to put on my website. I did it 7 years ago and they haven't touched it since. And you know what the worst pick any machine shop, fabricator, go down the list. If we had a Thomas Registry and just go click on them, tell me how many of them.
Thomas Registry. Wow, Boomer. What are you
doing? It's online. You can click the links now. So you can go to Thomas Registry, click the links of just pick the fabricators and tell me the percentage when you go to their website, how many of them show the fucking building in their parking lot.
Well, you know, 99.99% of them.
No one cares about your building and parking lot. I'm just going to tell you that right now. If somebody's using your website to go find you to see what you do, No one cares about your building and your parking lot.
Right.
No one cares. What they care about is they don't even care what you do. They care about the stories and how you do it. Because anybody can buy the equipment. It's how you and your organization and your culture and how your brand representation is that makes that machine or equipment truly have value to me as the and to me as your customer.
Okay.
That might be a very different take than many people, but that's kind of my take. Because back in my, you know, when I was doing all my outsourcing, I could give two shits about the piece of equipment. I didn't care. I cared about the people. I cared about, are we going to do the right things? If my material is late and I told you what was coming on, were you going to work with me to save the time to make sure that we could still get it done and meet a deadline? Or are you going to go just chase the next dollar and put me in and say, too bad, so sad. Your lead time is now 73 weeks instead of the 12 that I told you I could get it done in because I just booked all this work or whatever it might be. Shame on me for not getting our material there on time. But that's not how the relationship needed to work, right? So being able to have those stories out there and have your brand recognition out there from a, oh, this company does ABC, whatever that might be. So your branding comes in many different ways and facets. I got a couple of home service folks. My pet peeve on home service is the fucking dashboard full of garbage, full of paperwork, full of clipboard bullshit, full of McDonald's bags, full of whatever it is. Just put it up there on the dashboard. That looks like shit coming into somebody's house or parking lot or job site or whatever. That is just, that's your brand. That is what you are willing to tolerate and accept as the business owner. And that says volumes about how you're going to treat me and my job site or my home.
Right.
If that's the way you're going to treat your stuff.
100%. What about, you know, showing up in the, you know, a lettered vehicle and, I don't know, usually, let's call it a drywall company shows up in a lettered vehicle. In your mind, what just popped into your mind? Just curious, what popped into your mind?
Typical, what popped in my mind?
Yeah.
Well, it used to be a white van.
It used to be.
Now it's got a lot of FeO2 coloring on. It's got a lot of different blotches and things, and it's faded out. And maybe there's a the roof rack is attached to something still a little bit, might be flopping along as it's holding the ladders and scaffolding pieces. Maybe the doors are closed. Bumpers are probably rusted out and all dented up. Again, the dashboard's probably not in the best of condition.
Very cluttered.
You know, tires are probably less than travel safe for winter conditions.
And again, this is part of someone's brand. Now, is this a brand that you really want to buy from when they show up?
That's where the problem comes in, because if they're doing many of those situations, they do great work, right? Because they're spending the time on doing that and not worried about those other things. And it might be that they're not taking their financial aptitude in the right ways. So they just, they could be in a, in one pocket, pay the other pocket type scenario, because they're not managing that correctly to put themselves in that situation. As we've talked before about, you know, what does it cost to get up? What all those things? And, you know, those trucks over time have to be replaced. And if you're not capturing that and putting some of that aside, it's hard to recover from those things.
Yeah,
it's hard to recover when I've got that 1993 Chevy van and all of a sudden it finally dies. And now all of a sudden, holy shit, I got to have 75 grand to go get a new one outfitted if I'm lucky.
Exactly.
And you've never planned for it, and you've never thought about it, and you've never considered it.
Right. But that's, again, the question that I, well, I won't say again. Question I want people to think about when we talk about branding is it's also part of your first impressions. When you're rolling up to people and yeah, you might have, you know, an outdated website with website reviews, Google reviews, things like that. All these perceptions that people have can have a positive and or negative impact on your business.
Right. There's a, so one of my clients I've been doing work with off and on, they are in the appliance repair world, and all of their trucks are, they're wrapped. They're gorgeous. They've pretty much been updated. The new fleet's been recycled out over the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But they've kept them clean and go forward. There's another, Eagle Disposal here in Wisconsin. They compete with waste management. That guy has decided that all he does is new truck leases. That's it. Right? It's like a 2-year lease on these trucks, because they just get beat up and done whatever, and then he's not going to spend the time. I'm just going to get the lease and go forward. Every one of his trucks are clean and sparkly. He does garbage dumpster removal stuff. But his trucks are immaculate.
Mm-hmm. And what does that brand say to a consumer? What does that say?
Well, could say, I'm paying too much.
Could.
But it's going to most likely say, hey, I'm going to take care of you. I take care of my stuff, so therefore I'm going to take care of you. So if your fence for your dumpsters are all jacked up, I'm going to let you know about it. I'm going to take care of the things that are there. I'm going to put your dumpster back. I'm not just going to drop it somewhere and hope that the gates close and ruin your gates, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Exactly. So at what point, actually, I'm going to ask this question.
Oh, please do. The Great Gazoo is on fire.
The Great Gazoo. At what point do you step back and you go, what is the value of this brand?
So that is always the hard one to talk about.
Why?
I'm going to go. So the last two dragline projects that I did, we were shipping to India. And these crates and boxes and everything we were doing, they're going to go from facility one onto a truck to another facility, right? And all the docks, all the things, they're going to get handled over and over and over again. So we're going down these expensive machine components, fabrications, assemblies, etc., are going to travel halfway around the world. And if we use our standard packaging, highly probable that some of the stuff's not going to make it there, going to be damaged, lost, etc. So we decided to beef that up to be, hey, and it was expensive. It cost like $1.5 million to do it.
Right.
One of the questions I got asked was, well, how much did we save? I'm like, well, I don't know, because something didn't happen. So to your point of what does that branding bring you? The fact that I didn't show up in a rusted out Chevy van that used to be white and smoking all over the place and leaking oil on everybody's driveway. Did I get the job because I didn't have that van, or did I get the job because of some other reason? Hard to say.
Right.
But you could use a perception to say, the perception would be, if you show up and it's all good and it's there and you're putting on the booties and doing all the things, but you're going to have a greater value or opportunity to win that job.
Right.
If things show up and they're in order and they're clean and they're neat and there's a process, then if you didn't, which is also part of your brand, if they show up with their branded shirt or their name tag or whatever it is, you have a greater chance to at least gain the credibility to start versus probably not.
Right. Okay.
So I think that is a difficult question, and it's a very difficult question for most tradesmen to answer, because they're usually so fixated on the fucking cash of what's happening right now than what the whole thing looks like, because of work, because we're continuing moving money from one pocket to the other and never getting ahead.
Well, isn't that part of the whole customer experience? Your brand is part of that whole customer experience. So you may or may not have that cash to move from pocket A to pocket B if you're not living up to your brand standards. And while we haven't explicitly come right out and said it, I'm going to say it right now, your brand extends far beyond your logo.
Oh, 100%.
In your name.
Right? Do you answer the phone? Do you return calls? Right. Most people aren't going to answer the phone if they don't know the name of the person that shows up on.
Right.
It's going to go to voicemail. Yep. Is your voicemail empty so a new customer or somebody can leave you a voicemail and say, "Hey, I need to know X, Y, and Z." And are you going to return the call in a reasonable amount of time? Reasonable is not 7 days later.
Right.
Right. Reasonable might be 3 hours next morning, depending on the time of arrival, whatever it showed up, but there should be a reasonable expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to reasonably respond to an email? Are you going to reasonably respond to a text message along the way that's not just a thumbs up?
Mm-hmm. All of it matters.
You know?
And how you respond matters to your customers more than maybe some other choices that you're making.
I was talking with somebody the other day, and we were talking about communication and being good humans and different things. And they got a very rude text message from one of their customers, project manager, just trying to throw their weight around.
Do whatever.
And it happened to be a male project manager, female that's receiving the text. kudos to her. She called them back up and said, "Hey, I'd like you to read this text again and tell me what would you think about this if it was your wife or daughter who received this message?"
Right.
And I'm like, good for you for doing that and showing that you're not willing to be treated that way.
Yeah, exactly.
And that you expect to have, you expect respect. Because we're trying to mutually solve a situation for each other, right? I'm going to supply you a product. Go do my installation, do whatever it is. And you're trying to satisfy your customer that you can't satisfy without my product along the way. So we're mutually beneficial for us both to behave as good humans than to bitch and complain at one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that when I was, again, when I built my purchasing team, you know, 04, we got late to the party for all the large equipment in our area here. There's only so many 8-inch bars around that make sense to move product to. And we built our team to be the organization that our suppliers wanted to work with. Part of our brand was, hey, they're going to have a conversation with us. They're going to share information with us. They're going to not have us, quote, and nickel and dime and do whatever, they're going to make it easy for us to work with them. Well, therefore, we will give them more time than not.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Right. So being able to put ourselves in position where our brand as a group was, we want to work with you folks because you are doing it differently.
So for our listeners here that are kind of starting to question some things, at what point do you suggest to businesses that it's time to rebrand?
Ooh, that's a tough one because I just did mine. I just did my rebrand, right? Isn't quite up here yet. I still have to get the new sign for behind there, and it doesn't have to be super, super major, right? It can be just minor and it can just be little tweaks here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But with it comes a little bit of energy. With it comes a little bit of unstaleness. You know, you look at how often does Pepsi change their logo? But if you go back through the history of Pepsi logos, they changed, but they didn't change dramatically. It's still the red and circle.
White and blue.
Red, white, and blue circle, right? Yep. And it's just a little bit different each time. It's not like it's major or, you know, Budweiser. We just change a little bit of this or different.
Right.
So I don't know. I would say maybe every 8 to 10 years, it's something to think about, but that doesn't mean you update your website that infrequently. You should be working on your website on a regular basis.
I updated it. It's a static, asset and I'm done. Moved on.
Yeah. That doesn't mean you don't post blogs or do something or share stories or put testimonials out there or things like that, or new equipment or just different industry things. Doesn't mean don't update your site.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that one?
Oh, I like it when it's when it matters, like when it means something. Like if I'm rebranding, there's a reason for rebranding, not just to not do it just to, you know, refresh and re-update and change every swap things in, swap things out. Like I'm not a person that does stuff like that. But it's when there's hey, I truly want to make a difference and I'm committed to making a difference as a business owner. Then you know what? If you're going to grow your business, you're going to make a significant trajectory change, then let's put, like you mentioned, Brad, let's put some energy behind it with a fresh new look. Nothing beats going and getting a new suit and putting that on and strutting your shit down whatever sidewalk you're walking down, whatever room you're walking into. When you have new clothes on, you carry yourself differently.
You know, when I look at family businesses, when you go through that mm-hmm. transition of generation, that's a good time to rethink, relook at core values, relook at your mission, vision statements, look at those things that can be very important. You know, unlike Denton Racing and Ricky Bobby and right, that's not my dad's company anymore, right?
Yep.
He took it down the wrong approach potentially, but he did what he did to go and
right.
and have his business be what it was, right, wrong, or indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually a good time to help facilitate. And whether you're trying to keep a legacy or re-enter the door with the same name, but a different approach or whatever that might look like,
right?
That's a mm-hmm. good time as well, I think, from a family business perspective.
Right. Well, Brad, thank you for indulging me on this conversation today.
Hey, not a problem, sir. It's one of the topics we have not discussed yet. So,
right.
You are the great Gazoo.
Well, with that, thank you, sir.
All right, have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.